You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Honey, I don't know what to do. I just went to the fridge and... Oh, please ready yourself. We're out of beer.
Well, that's no problem, honey. I was just listening to OneOfUs.net and they said on there that, apparently there's this company, Oscar Blues Brewing, that makes all kinds of great beers. They were the first people to put craft brew in a can.
What, you mean like... All those other beers that are now, those craft beers that they put in the can that I see everywhere, they couldn't have done it first.
They did with Dale's Pale Ale. It's so delicious. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's a brewery of theirs right down the street from us.
Really?
Well, yeah, we live in Austin, right near OneOfUs.net. I mean, we love them. That's why we're subscribers as well. It's the only way they can keep going. That and, well, Oscar Blues Brewing Company, which is their sponsor...
Wow, I feel so much better.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Intern.cast show, the only show where we, the hosts, much like the features that we review, have not yet graduated up to theatrical release. Yes, that is right. All those other critics, they're like Samuel L. Jackson in Jumper. Second build in the cast, has about 30 minutes of screen time in an 88-minute movie. He's all over that film. We're more like Keegan-Michael Key in Impulse. He's there for maybe 20 seconds tops.
I mean... I last for only 20 seconds tops, but Keegan-Michael Key, like, he could have gone for another 20 seconds. You know what I mean?
I like that that's the highest compliment you can give, is that Keegan-Michael Key could probably last 40 seconds.
I mean, to be fair, have you seen his wife? I wouldn't last 40 seconds. What's her name? Oh, man, she's so funny. Oh, no. I'm thinking of the other guy. Oh, who's his partner?
Jordan Peele?
Peele. I'm thinking of Peele's wife. My bad. Mm. Peele's wife is hot. Keegan-Michael Key, I don't know anything about if he's married.
Yeah, he was in Tomorrowland. He's figuring his way out in this world.
What?
I hope you're kidding.
Tomorrowland is horrible.
Okay, Tomorrowland's not horrible. He was one of the robots in Tomorrowland.
Dude. Okay, sidebar. Tomorrowland is one of my top five most hated movies of all time. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Really. Truly.
Jesus.
And I'll tell you why. It's not because it's that it's bad, but because it is the epitome of mediocrity.
Okay. It is, interesting.
There's nothing about that movie that is not mediocre. And it was sold to the general public like it's this epic. And there's nothing epic about it. It's completely 100% bullshit. And
yeah,
I did not fall for that. I did not fall for that. I did not appreciate it. And it's a lie. The whole movie is a fucking lie.
Interesting. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not over here saying that it's like a masterpiece or anything.
It's not.
Ah, that's really, of all the movies to like throw like the brunt of your anger at, it's Tomorrowland.
Because that's the thing is like sometimes Disney and major corporations just release stuff and just expect us to swallow it and thank them. And like, if it's bad, it's bad. I can deal with that. I can criticize it, and I can maybe find some enjoyment in it being bad. But when you basically rape me with boring sex while you're at it, I'm not going to thank you.
I have so many problems with that sentence.
That's
I
fine.
Don't even know where to
and be. I have so many problems with fucking Adventureland. Or I'm sorry,
Tomorrowland. Adventureland's a damn good movie.
Adventureland is a damn good movie.
Yeah.
Tomorrowland is not a damn good movie. And you know what? While we're on the subject, I'm sorry. You got me going now, and I've never gotten the chance to talk about this before. But, like, so the whole movie of Tomorrowland is they're being chased by these robots who keep trying to fucking kill them, right?
Yeah.
They keep trying to murder them to stop them to getting to Adventureland. I'm sorry, Tomorrowland. And they get to Tomorrowland, they get there, and the place is crawling with robots and Dr. House. And immediately it's like... You guys know you guys can't be here, okay? We have to send you back, okay? We're sorry. Like, no, you were just trying to fucking kill them 10 seconds ago. And now that you actually have them in your grasp, you guys can't be here, okay? That's a no-no. That's bad. You're bad. No, fuck that. That is not how fucking storytelling, where you don't keep upping the ante and then fucking peter out in the third act. That's bullshit.
I will say that did feel like a very Disney decision. It very much felt like...
Well, then don't have them kill them in the first place. That's fine. I'm fine with it being a chase movie, but not if it's a chase movie where it's live or die. And then when the chase is caught, it's not live or die.
I can understand that. Well, we're not talking about Tomorrowland.
We can. You want to?
Not really. I feel
some
like you have
very deep-seated problems with this.
I feel like this is going to get way too emotional if we talk about Tomorrowland. Fully acknowledging that last episode, I almost cried. I feel like Tomorrowland's going to break even that threshold.
Two things you shouldn't cry about for $200, please, Alex. Go.
13 Reasons Why in Tomorrowland.
Yes.
But no, we're not talking about Tomorrowland or 13 Reasons Why, thank the Lord. We are talking about Impulse, the new show on YouTube Red. But before we get into that show, TJ, what have you been watching recently?
I've been watching a lot, actually. We've been I've just been doing so much work that having stuff on in the background has kind of become my... I mean, it always was my thing a long time ago, but...
Yeah.
I'm starting to get into, a flow with my extracurriculars so that stuff in the background is actually I'm able to focus on both at the same time now. But so I recently watched Glow with Leslie, who did not want to be here today because she was like, I liked it. I don't have anything to say about it. I'm going to go eat some tacos. I'm like, okay, bye.
Fair enough. did you like Glow season one? I forget.
I did like Glow season one. I remember saying, quote, it is fucking adorable, end quote.
Okay. Because I think I'm the only person on the planet who wasn't, I don't think it's a bad show, I just wasn't terribly sold on it. So, does season two, where does season two, where would you put it in comparison to the first
it
season?
It is exactly the same.
Okay.
It's like, beat for beat, it's, you know what, they don't get any better, but they don't get any worse, and I'm totally cool with that. My only thing about it is, though, it's kind of like, you know how I don't know, in any sitcom, and I use the will-they-won't-they romances in any sitcom as an example, because that's the one that's usually most pertinent and obvious, where, in the season where they kind of like each other, and then it ends in the finale where it looks like they're going to get together, and then you come back in the first episode of season two, and they're kind of, not where they started, but they're definitely not where they left off either. They're kind of, a couple steps back.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that with Glow. It's like, at the end of season one of Glow, Marc Maron's character is friends with all the girls, the two girls that Betty Giplin and Alison Brie have made up, and they're actually kind of respect each other. First episode of season two, Marc Maron fucking hates the girls again. He's a total dick. The girls don't talk to each other anymore. They really hate each other. It's like, yeah, I understand the logic in TV shows where you have so many years to span a show that you kind of have to do this three steps forward, two steps back kind of thing to slowly get there to kill time.
So annoying.
It is annoying. It is annoying. And I don't appreciate it. So the first couple episodes of the season, I wasn't thrilled about just because we had to deal with Marc Maron being a dick again, which is fine. I like Marc Maron being a dick. He's great at it.
That's literally the one thing that he's really, really good at.
Right. He's great at it. But it also was not true to his character the way we left off last season. So you kind of have to just get through the bullshit, the dragging on to get to the good stuff. But yeah, once it gets going again, it's really cute. It's charming. It basically picks up where so the first season was them trying to make this show and they find out they got picked up for a TV series. So this is them trying to get through their first season of it. And of course you got all the girls and they got all their own little storylines and some of them work, some of them don't. But the main thing is the relationship between Alison Brie and Betty Giplin. I forget their names. I'm sorry. I just watched it too.
Yeah.
But so Betty Giplin's character, the one, spoiler alert, if you don't remember it, Alison Brie's character slept with Betty Giplin's husband. So they kind of have a falling out, but now they're forced to work together on this TV show. And they kind of made up the end of the first season, but now they're not. And so Betty Giplin, in not quite spite, tries to manipulate her way into becoming a producer on the show. So they have Stosh Piznarski as one of the producers. Marc Maron's the
director.
Yeah, Marc Maron.
I remember really being excited when Piz showed up, sorry.
Yeah, and he's got some good stuff in this season, too. So, Betty Gilpin's character kind of manipulates her way into being one of the producers. Of course, they don't take her seriously, not because she's a woman, but because she's not as good at her job as Alison Brie is. But, Alison Brie's character is really annoying. So Marc Maron basically just kind of gives her the shaft for most of the season until it's convenient for the story for them to be friends again.
Okay.
And then there's some stuff, and I think that they took a lot. I don't know if this was their plan initially, but it seems like they took a lot from the, like, Me Too movement and the Harvey Weinstein stuff that kind of went happening, because there's a scene where basically Alison Brie has a chance to further her career by sleeping with, like, the head of the network. Of course, she passes because, you know, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
And then, so it kind of plays with that theme a little bit. And if I can, I'm not saying I don't enjoy that stuff, because I think it's important. And I think it's, you know, I don't want to say entertaining is a bad word, but, you know,
yeah.
you got to have some story in your show, right? But just like last season with the abortion storyline, it's an important topic, but it's not the interesting part of the show. The interesting part of the show is just the fun of the cast.
Right.
So when it does take these little sidebar stories, I don't dislike it, but I don't appreciate it either. Appreciate is a bad word. What am I trying to say? It's just a sidestep. It's just a step to the side. We're going to do this thing for a minute. Okay, now we're going to come back to the stuff you actually are here for.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily feel organic.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it doesn't feel organic at all. But it's still funny. I had a ton of laugh out moments. Again, it's just so heartwarming. Like, this is going to sound bad to me, but a show with all these really funny girls have really good chemistry, they're all great actresses, is so much more empowering to me, to women, than taking a side story about, you know, rape culture in Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, if that's integral to what the show is about, like, the show we're going to talk about later, like, I think that also is very, like, necessary and important, but...
Yes, it is. It's very important. I just don't know if it fits.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost kind of like... And, of course, this is two dudes talking about this, but it feels
hey,
almost
I'm pretty
a little,
femmy, and you cried last episode, so...
I was emotional, damn it. but no, it feels almost insulting in a way to be like, all right, cool, so this is a show about... women that is like a very feminine bent to it, which means we have to shove all the stuff in here. And I'm like, no, women need charming, silly comedies too. Like, we need all these different types of stories.
Right. They need someone to be proud of, to root for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, it doesn't, like, we have the intense shows because dudes have had intense shows and funny shows and shows in between for however long television's been around. Like, we need, like, we can't just have like three shows that are like, okay, these are the women shows, and they're going to do the work of, like, 50 shows. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
am I making sense?
No, I get what you're saying. Just because you have it doesn't mean you throw everything at it.
Exactly.
But, you know, again, it's so minimal, just like that, like I told you, I don't know, do you remember last season where there was, like, a abortion storyline?
I remember it so vaguely. I have... lost so much of my memory of the first season of this show.
That's so sad. I really wish you could be there with me, man, because it's just so charming. It's cute. You know, it's fun.
I'll probably watch season two eventually, because it's still 30-minute episodes, right?
Oh, yeah. They're short, and they're sweet, and there's only 10 episodes total, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the finale until it ended. I was like, oh, shit. I thought I had, like, two or three more to go.
Okay, and I mean, I'll also, like, put stuff on in the background while I'm doing work. And I mean, I remember I watched the first season in maybe a day and a half.
Oh yeah.
So I can just binge this sometime soon and I'll report back.
Well, get on that, Davey. Get on that. What are you doing with your summer, man?
I work two jobs and I have panic
attacks. So do I. I work two jobs, Davey.
Fair enough.
What two jobs are you working? Are you back at the movie theater?
No, I deliver pizzas, still doing that. And I do temp work for a paralegal firm.
Whoa.
Yeah. I scan files.
Way to make me feel like I'm irrelevant.
Oh, no, I'm incredibly irrelevant. I just kind of show up and I'm like, is there anything that you guys need me to do? And they say, here, scan these documents, but they're incredibly confidential. So if you look at them, like, that's bad. And I go, it's okay. I don't understand anything on these pages anyway. Whenever I walk into an official place of business, like, I revert back in aging, like, 4 years. So whenever I walk into a room, I'm 16 again. And I'm like, hi, my name's Davey. I like to scan your files.
I kind of feel that way, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, though, because, like, you met me, right? I'm like, yeah. I'm a pretty tall guy. You know, like I'm not trying to brag, but you know, I tap out and tower over people at about 5'5", you know. So people,
I mean, I'm taller.
People
than
tend
you,
to get intimidated by me. What I'm really trying to say is I'm short guy, right?
Yeah.
Like I work in a big bank industry, and yet I have seniority, and I'm the most like experienced, but I have to not boss around, but influence people around me that are taller, older.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say wiser, but I'm sure they think so.
Yeah.
And then I just feel like, I feel like I'm 16-year-old Davey on my first job, even though I'm not.
I feel like I should just mail you like one of those Apple boxes that they make Tom Cruise stand on when he does scenes.
Wait.
That whenever you're in a conversation with anyone, you can be like, I need you to give me the second. Wait a second. Puts down the box, steps on the box. Now I would need you to scan these documents for me.
Dude, so when I lived back in Vegas, I used to go dancing all the time, right? And I still do, but I used to go dancing a lot. And, you know, a lot of girls didn't like to dance with a short guy, even though I'm a pretty decent dancer. So I remember I was dancing one time, and I bought these shoes. I went out of my way to buy these shoes that look like normal shoes, but they have big heels on them. So they gave me an extra, like, fuck you. They gave me an extra, like, 3 inches, right? Like, a pretty good height difference. And they were so, like, well-made. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert, they're not well-made. But they're so convenient-looking that they look like normal shoes. They don't look like they're making me taller, right?
Yeah.
Fuck you. I hear you.
Keep going.
So I'm dancing one day, and I'm an energetic dude. I get excited about things. So I get a little too stompy. I don't know if that's an adjective or not, but I'm going to use it as one. I get a little too stompy, and the heels pop off. In the middle of the dance floor. So one of them pops off, the other one doesn't. So I'm kind of doing like a sidestep where I'm like, I'm real tall, and then I'm real short, and then I'm real tall, and then I'm real short with every single step. And I'm like trying to figure out what's going on. I look down, and the heel's just kind of sitting there being kicked around the dance floor. And then some guy looks over, sees it, sees me, see him, and just goes, I hate when that happens. I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, I'm going to make fun of you so much. So what do you give Glow Season 2?
I give Glow Season 2 an 8.5 wobbly steps on the dance floor. It's really good, though. I'm not saddened to hear that you didn't fall for its charm, but it just makes me kind of happy, you know? I can't tell you why. I just think it's well-made, and it's just happy, you know?
That's good.
And all of your favorite characters are back, and, you know, it's good. They do take some side stories not talking about the rape culture thing, but just some other side stories that aren't necessarily interesting. But, you know. So, yeah, I saw Blockers.
All right. We can talk about that for a half a second. Did you like that movie?
I kind of did.
Okay.
I kind of did. It was a decent... I don't want to say sex comedy, but it seems like it was inspired by sex comedies of the 90s. And rather than imitating it like some of the sex comedies today and doing it poorly, it kind of took it to the next logical step, I felt like.
Honestly, I feel like that movie works better as a drama than as a comedy.
But there are some dramatic elements in it.
The dramatic elements, I think, work really, really well.
And dude, I'm sorry. I think I'm a John Cena fan.
He's a John Cena fan too, but I don't think he can carry a movie yet.
I don't know about that. I think he does pretty, he was the best part about the Blockers movie.
I mean, I don't know. I thought the kids did really well, but like.
Yeah, but
I
they were kind like of annoying.
Works, I mean, they're teen girls. They were as unannoying as teen girls can be. Saying as someone who's a teen boy and has had exclusively romantic trysts with teen girls. that I know that.
I know you don't respect me, but you don't have to lie to me, Dave.
I promise that that sounded like in my head that was well intentioned. I could not have made that sound creepier if I tried.
And I would like to give you a chance to try right now. Please do.
But no, like, I feel like John Cena works best in the supporting roles, like how he is in Trainwreck.
I never saw Trainwreck, but...
He's really funny in Trainwreck, I thought. I don't know. With Blockers, I liked what it stood for, and I liked when it tried to get serious, but I just... I don't know. Cringe comedy is really hard for me to get into, and there's a lot of cringe comedy in the movie.
Yeah. And most of the cringe comedy doesn't make sense. Like, there's a whole scene... I'm not really, you know, don't need to talk too much about this, but there's a whole scene where, like, the plan involves them breaking into the house of another kid's parents, and there's this really stupid sex night that the parents happen to be having, and they, rather than just leave the house, and
they get caught up in the middle of it?
Yeah, they get caught up in the middle of it for a dumb joke. But, yeah, anyway. Let's see, what else have I seen? I think that's about... it. All right. I've been watching Arrested Development Season 5. Have you?
I watched, like, the first three episodes, and I went, oh, no. Was this... And it was, like, a weird come-to-Jesus moment where I was like, I haven't seen Arrested Development Season 4 since it came out, but I remember liking it. And then I watched this a few episodes of this new season, and I went, oh, no, Arrested Development Season 4 was bad, wasn't it?
It wasn't bad.
Because this season has not been very good so far.
It's just, I what I don't like about it is that they did this whole thing where they said, we're not going to do this unless we do it right this time. And doing it right, according to the fans and to us, is to have the whole gang back together again in one place and interacting, because that's where the comedy comes from.
Yeah.
And, like, I know you said you only saw, like, 3 or 4 episodes so far, but there's, like, most of those episodes is the same as season 4. They're not really together.
Yeah.
They might have more interactions, like, they're not standalone episodes, where
it's
just
like
one character.
Yeah, like one or two or three
of them. But, like, there's usually only, like, maybe one or, yeah, two or three at most together at a time. But it's not the whole, they don't have the best parts of the show is when the whole family's in the parents, yeah,
fighting.
The parents' house fighting, and everyone's there. But, you know, it doesn't really do that. I'm like, God fucking, dude. I haven't finished it yet, so I can't judge it, but I'm also not in a rush to finish it either, so.
Yeah. All right, I got a few things I want to talk about.
Go for it.
That are
going to
be
far
less positive.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, I'm going to fire away, and the first bullet I've got.
Fucking Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Davey. Okay, bye.
What a bitch, dude. You seriously, she, like, bursts into the room. I had my dick in my hand. Don't ask why.
That's what that sound is on the recordings. I've always wondered. I thought it was an air conditioning unit. It's just you whacking off to the sound of my sultry little voice.
Hey, I'm not whacking off. I just, you know, like...
It's just there.
I just play with it when I'm nervous.
Like how some people have those little magnets that you, like, flip around. Like, you just kind of, like, move it back and... move your dick back and forth.
I'm trying to, like... make my dick into a fidget spinner, but they copyrighted fidget spinner, so I was trying to do, like, a get spitter, but we'll see. Anyway.
The world's most painful stress ball. So I watched Set It Up.
Why?
Because I was with my girlfriend, and we were like, this looks terrible, let's watch it. And it was. For those who don't know, Set It Up is a romantic comedy where Zoe Dutch and some guy are the assistants to Lucy Liu and Ty Diggs. And
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs, sorry. And they're both miserable, and they're like, hey, you know what we should do? We should manipulate our bosses and, like, psychologically move them into places so that they'll fall in love, so that way we can get some vacation time.
That's how most... successful marriages and relationships work, so it's a good start.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Obviously.
With you.
I mean, every good relationship begins with gaslighting and a lot of lies, solely for the purpose that people don't have to work so damn hard. And then they go through this, like, big little thing, and then Zoe Dutch and the guy start to fall for each other, and this movie is awful. It's so bad. It's not funny. It's not charming. I love Zooey Deutch. I think she's wonderful. And she
Who's Zooey Deutch?
She was in Before I Fall, and she was in Everybody Wants Some and Vampire Academy. And she was in Why Him. That's the movie she was in. Have you seen any of those movies?
No, I have not.
All right. She's very good. She's often not in very good movies, but she's always super charming and entertaining in them. She's like B-minus list Anna Kendrick. And she tries her hardest. God bless her for it. But this movie is not funny at all. And it is... And all the characters are just kind of awful people. And it's very clear that the movie doesn't want you to think they're awful people. They want you to kind of root for at least two, if not all four, of the main characters. But they're all despicable people who do awful things. And I know that's the main trope of romantic comedies, but at least those movies are funny. This movie was not funny or sweet or charming, and no one really had any real chemistry, and this movie's bad. I don't know why people seem to like it, because it's very bad.
Is there any redeeming quality about it?
I mean, it's not offensively bad. I watched it, and it moved quickly enough, and I am in the process of forgetting it exponentially. Like, it's the movie's got a half-life of like an hour once it's done. But, I mean, should we be doing better things with our time than making and watching movies like this?
I don't know, Davey, should you?
Yeah, I should be doing better things with my time, but...
So what did your girlfriend think about it?
Oh, she hated it too.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
so
I picked a good one.
Not to sound pretentious, but now that you're in a relationship, are you getting good at like... Wait, what am I trying to say? Are you introducing her slowly into good movies, or was she already there to begin with, or...
She already had good taste in movies, but now I'm like, oh, you should watch this movie that no one's ever heard of. And it's getting to the point where it's becoming very annoying for her. Because I'm like, oh, you love this like movie that a lot of people love. You know what you would totally love? Synecdoche, New York.
Why would you ever suggest that to anyone that you want to make happy?
Because that movie's a masterpiece.
I know, but it's not a happy movie.
It's not a happy movie, but it's a great movie, and it teaches you things about life and existence, and it's beautiful. But that's not the point. It gets very annoying. So sometimes I just have to be like, let's just watch this thing that's not personally curated by this pretentious asshole, me, who's trying so hard to just be like, watch all these great movies. So sometimes I watch stuff like Set It Up. And it was very bad. And I give Set It Up 3 out of 10 mediocre cameo or mediocre supporting roles by a Charlie Angel.
Oh.
And I also watched The Legacy of a White-Tailed Deer Hunter.
What's that?
Which is even worse. It's Jody Hill's new movie.
Is it in theaters? What is it?
No, it came out on Netflix this week.
Oh, okay.
And it's got Danny McBride and Josh Brolin and Carrie Coon and Scoot McNairy for some reason. But Josh Brolin plays a famous like TV hunter, and Danny McBride is his cameraman, and Josh Brolin has a son that he doesn't feel very connected to. So he's like, hey son, you should come on this trip with me and you can kill a deer and we'll film it and make content out of it. And I think it's supposed to be funny. I don't know.
Did you laugh?
I did not laugh once. There was one moment where I almost chuckled, and that was just because somebody got shot, and I was like, oh, that's kind of amusing. But no, this is a very not good movie. It's really short. It's like 83 minutes. Feels so long. It feels like it's almost 2 hours long. It's so dull and uninteresting. Josh Brolin does okay in it, but everyone else is just sleepwalking. I have no idea what Carrie Coon and Scoot McNairy are doing in this movie. And also, this is Josh Brolin's fourth movie he's been in this summer, and none of them have been good.
Listen, I know you're not a Marvel fan, but... Really? Come on. He was good in Avengers.
he was good in them, but the movies aren't good. Avengers Infinity War is the closest to good. Deadpool 2 wasn't good. Sicario 2 wasn't good. And now this movie isn't good. Why is he in so many bad movies?
Because he's not. You just have bad taste.
I don't have bad taste. He was in Only the Brave last year, and that movie's incredible.
Man. I'm just so saddened by your generation.
Okay, it's not my generation. My generation loves all this shit. I'm the pretentious hipster in the back. Blame me. Don't blame them. But no, Legacy of the Whitetail Deer Hunter, if you like Eastbound and Down and Vice Principals and all that stuff, then don't watch this because it'll make you sad. Jody Hill really just messed up this time. And I give The Legacy of a Whitetail Deer Hunter 2 out of 10 makeshift life breaths.
Okay. 2 out of 10. That's pretty low, man. Even for you.
I really did not like it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I like when you're happy, Davey.
Oh, thank you. But you know what did make me happy?
What?
For some reason, this YouTube Red spinoff of Jumper.
It made you happy?
Yeah.
Good. I am glad. You know why? Because what? I didn't like it. So I was really, really hoping that you would like it so that we could actually have some disagreements. Because
no, I was shocked at how much I liked Impulse.
Good, because it's catered completely to you. You are the demographic series.
Like it's not even like the not even age wise. It's just like me personally. Like it. Like okay, so we should talk about what Impulse is about.
Wait, before we get into that, you need to pitch to me at the end of this review something involving a wheelchair and a viral YouTube video.
Okay.
Good. So Impulse, did you want to take the lead on it? Because I think.
Okay, I'll take the lead. Impulse is a spin-off series of the 2008 movie Jumper.
But not an official one. It's not an official one. They don't exist in the same universe.
It exists in the same universe. It's produced.
And they never say that. Nowhere does it say that.
Well, they have the same powers. It's based on a book that Jumper was based off of a book in the same series. It's produced and a couple episodes are directed by Doug Liman, who directed Jumper. It's practically a Jumper spinoff.
It's everything except for the fact that they never say that it is. But
yeah, they never specifically say Jumper, like the actual movie Jumper. And so this is about a young girl named Henrietta, who
Henry Davey. Her name is Henry. Okay, I told you that. I know you like to call her Henrietta to make you think like you're a powerful big man with your beard and your movies, okay? But it's Henry. She can take care of herself.
You're damn right she can.
That little spout I just gave you was 10 times was Oscar worthy compared to any of the shit in this show.
All right. Oh, don't get me wrong. The person who delivered those lines, Missy Pyle, is not a good actress, but let's not throw everyone else under the bus here, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Impulse is about this girl, Henry, who she is angsty, as all teenage girls are, and she is in a situation where she starts being sexually assaulted, and she starts to have a panic attack, and then
subconsciously,
she teleports.
Mm-hmm.
And the car that she and this boy were in crushes in on him as she teleports and wakes up in her bedroom. So she finds out that when she is under severe emotional stress, which previously manifested in her as seizures, she has teleporting powers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's not really a superhero show. It tells you that it is, and then it isn't. It's a lot of like teen angst and these characters trying to get along because Henry has a mom played by Missy Pyle who recently shacked up with this guy who has a daughter. So Henry and the daughter have this weird back and forth.
They're like enemies for like 5 minutes and then they actually come off like sisters, which is kind of cool. It works. And then Henry is just such a fucking angsty little shit that she constantly has to fight with everyone around her for no good fucking reason.
Yes, but the thing is...
You know what sucks?
What?
Is that Henry thinks she's smart, as most teenagers do, think that she's smarter than everyone else around her. She always has the upper hand, she knows exactly what to say, and she can see all the bullshit in everyone else. But she's so fucking stupid. Everything she does is just the dumbest thing you could possibly do in any given situation.
But the show doesn't let her off the hook.
I think that's
what I like about the show. See, I completely disagree. It's impossible, at least for me, it was impossible not to compare this to 13 Reasons Why.
No, you're right. It isn't. It's impossible. Because we just came off of that, and yet so much of it feels exactly like that.
See, I completely disagree, because Impulse, much like 13 Reasons Why, is a show that is very moody and kind of humorless and steeped in a lot of drama and angst and deals with a lot of really heavy themes like death and the burden of family, and specifically deals with a lot of themes of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And I think every single thing that this show does that 13 Reasons Why also does, it does better. It's not a perfect show. It's got some problems. But I think everything... Like, I wish that this show had come out before 13 Reasons Why, just so in the review of that show, I could have said, this is how you do it right.
Huh. Jesus.
Specifically in regards to the scenes of sexual assault.
Can you retcon that statement and just say, this is how you do it better? Because this is not how you do it right, it's just better.
I think as far as hitting the ceiling of, like, moody teen dramas, this is about as high as that can go.
Oh.
Like this type of moody teen drama. Honestly.
Yeah, because Freaks and Geeks wasn't, you know, was horrible and didn't do it better at all.
Okay, Freaks and Geeks is a comedy.
Not really.
Any show that has Martin Starr getting beer drunk in a room by himself watching Dallas is a comedy. And don't get me wrong, Freaks and Geeks is in my top three shows of all time. I firmly love that show, but In this specific type of, like, late 2010s moody teen dramas, I think this is about as high as the genre can go. I don't see us getting
here's the thing.
Show like
you
this.
Just said this is as much as the drama can go, right?
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about is really not what the show wanted to be about. Hold on.
Okay.
So she teleports, right, and she makes this kid that's attempting to rape her, paraplegic, and the kid, of course, through convenience of plot devices, can't remember the attack because we have to have some way of stretching this drama out. So he's going to conveniently forget everything that happened for the first whole series, and so she's dealing with the repercussions of that. This kid is now paraplegic. She kind of feels guilty about it. She kind of doesn't. Okay, yeah. But the problem is that he just coincidentally happens to be the son of the local rich man / drug dealer / piss poor Jane Thomas or Thomas Jane wannabe knockoff actors. And so...
Okay. Yes, like, that is coincidental, but that's in the setup of the show. Him going into this coma and then waking up and not remembering things, I have a problem with that because that's coincidence after the start. When a show begins with a coincidence, I can't really have a problem with it.
Okay, fine, sure.
This guy is the son of this asshole.
Right. My point is that all of this is set up for her getting wrapped up in this drug war, kind of, but they don't have the budget or the writing skills to make it so. And so she's trying to figure out her powers. She's trying to stay as much far away from this local kingpin who's, like, kind of... I don't know how to describe him. He's, like, too nice. Like, he kills you with kindness kind of attitude. Yeah. But you're supposed to be scared scared of him. And then there's this subplot. Here's the thing. So the story is about this girl that can teleport, right? That's the byline.
Right.
Yes or no?
That is how the show is being sold, yes.
Yes. That is not really what the majority of the show is. The secondary, not even the secondary, like the third subplot is that. That's the subplot. The rest of it is this melodrama high school teen bullshit. And this, the, and then the second subplot is this, that she's trying to steer clear of this. It's just so, I don't even want to say it's convoluted, but it's just so dumb that it's not really all that important.
See, I can't agree with you there. I think there are problems with it, especially like how a lot of it doesn't really come together for the first half, and it feels very separate and secluded, and there are characters that are very much not given their full potential until even the last episode of the season. But I found it all to be pretty compelling for the most part.
Right, so I feel like I'm not doing this justice. Like, I feel like you're kind of beating around the bush. So she hurts this kid. The dad, who's the drug local kingpin, thinks that his rivals slash business partners, because they're the one buying his drugs. Who did the drugs? Who was making the drugs?
I don't know.
It doesn't say, does it? You just know one of them is making drugs and the other one is buying it, but it never says who. His business partners, who he's selling to or vice versa, he thinks they had something to do with it. So he takes retaliation gang turf war style on them. And then, so it's all these people trying to figure out who done it when really it was just an accident by this teleporting girl.
Yeah.
And none of this comes to light because she refuses to just be honest with anybody, which isn't true.
Okay.
She's honest with her sort of sister and she's honest with the local, geek kid, which I don't know why the local geek kid, the only kid that isn't a football player or a pretty girl, has to be autistic, but that's just the world we live in today, because no one can be nerdy and like video games without being a fucking autistic person. But whatever.
That's, I mean, like, to be fair, like, if you had teleporting powers, would you tell people?
Yes, I fucking would.
Well, you would, because you're an egotist. So would I, because I'm an egotist. But if you were scared of these people, if you were a 16-year-old girl...
Here's the thing, though. I'm not saying I would just go around telling my enemies or the people I'm scared of, but I would use this so-called ability to avoid the situation she gets into, right? So people get fucking murdered because she lies. She lies about something.
She can't control the teleporting powers at that point.
She gets someone murdered. But here's the thing, okay? And this is my first problem that I noticed with right off the bat, is that she keeps getting herself into these situations. And I know a lot of this is an allegory for, like, sexual assault and that it's not the girl's fault. And that's all true. And 100%, I completely back it. Except for the fact that she, A, gets into the car of this guy who is shady at best. He does some stuff to her that she does not deserve. She gets out of the situation. He gets hurt. Okay? After that, she should have learned her lesson and not gone into the car with, A, his brother. Because the same thing, not the same thing, but the same sort of attitude and danger sort of manifests itself again. And then after that, she should not have gotten into the car with his father. She just keeps getting into cars with people when she knows it's a bad idea. So I don't feel any sympathy for her after it's like the fool me once thing. The first thing was not her fault. She had no idea that it was going to go in that direction. But then she keeps getting into more danger by fucking around and being a dumbass and always getting into cars with idiots. She just keeps getting in the car with dangerous people, and I'm supposed to feel bad for her? No. Fucking walk away, or use your goddamn ability to escape.
Okay, she has not figured out how this ability even works.
She hasn't, you're right, but she knows how her fucking legs work, and she can walk in another direction.
Yes, and that is fair, and that is...
Or call her mother, her very caring mother.
That is one of the things that the series does wrong. Yes, the series is not perfect. There are a lot of conveniences, especially in the first half of the season, but that doesn't take away a lot of the things that I think really work about it.
What works about it?
Aside from Missy Pyle, I think the acting is pretty good. I think this main actress is fantastic. What's her name? Maddie Hassan. When the show started, I was like, all right, I'm not going to like this girl because she is moody and needy and I do not like her. But every single time, because it's roughly once an episode, she does a teleport. And the teleport almost always happens because of a panic attack. And every single time she has a panic attack, she sells that shit 100%.
Okay.
I believe that. And that is one of the hardest things to accurately mimic. And that's the first time that the show really grabbed me. It was the first time that she has a panic attack. Because she is so damn good at that. I find a lot of like inner character stuff, like the quieter stuff, to be really effective, like her and the sister. It's a little back and forthy, but I really like that kind of stuff, you know? like,
I'll give you those 2 points. I concede on those 2 points. I think she does good when it comes to the panic attack stuff. I guess I kind of overlooked it because every single time that happens, it does go into the teleportation thing. So it's almost like a weird transition to me because even though it's supposed to be the byline, the teleportation thing, but the show is so wrapped up in other shit that when she starts having a panic attack, I kind of forgot about it because I'm like, oh, wait, this is turning into the superhero show or wherever it wants to be.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's almost like a break in the action to, you know, so I kind of got distracted because I had to remind myself, oh yeah, this is what the show is actually supposed to be about.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things that the show does wrong is marketing itself as a superhero show because it's really not. There is like, if this was a superhero movie, there would be riots in the streets. People would be like, she teleported twice. It's really much more of a teen, drama. And it's got a lot of heavy stuff that it's talking about. And I did want to touch on this for a second. I really like the way that the show deals with sexual assault.
I do too. It doesn't take it too far. Like,
13 Reasons.
Yeah. It doesn't lightly tap over it like it's not a big deal either. It gives it its credit where its credit is due, and it handles it well, and I want to say it handles it modestly.
Yes, I completely agree. It's never shock value. You're never shocked when it happens. You just go, oh God, this is like an honest emotional thing. And at the end of every single episode, they do the thing that 13 Reasons Why did, where they do the, like, if you or anyone you know have experienced this, you are not alone, call this number. But the difference is, they didn't make their own damn website for it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the best thing about the show to me, is that they actually put up a real helpline instead of just, oh, you can go to impulse.info to learn more. Like, oh, fuck off.
And while you're there, would you like to buy some car insurance?
Or you could buy a 13 Reasons Why t-shirt with a graphic tee with a printing of the mop on it.
I was going to say, a 13 Reasons Why t-shirt. It's a long t-shirt, but the sleeves are cut.
Ooh, that was...
I'm making fun of 13 Reasons Why, not suicide.
No, I understand. But still, Jesus Christ. And this is coming from the guy who said that they were going to sell a t-shirt with the mop printed on it. So, we're both bad people.
Oh, I forgot about the mop. Yeah, that show's bad.
Yeah, that show's bad. But this show would never do that. This show would never put a mop in a dude's ass.
Put a mop in my ass.
No. Why is that the highest compliment I can give to a show, is that they wouldn't put a mop in a dude's ass?
I feel like, okay. Do you agree with me, yes or no, that it's a little too long? I'm sorry, it's a lot too long.
I think it would be a very, very good, like, 6 or 7 episode season.
I feel like it'd be a very, very good 2-hour movie.
Really?
Yeah, really, because all of it's just so padded. Everything we told you about the setup happens when the first maybe 2 episodes, maybe 2, yeah. Most of it the first. Okay, and then everything that pays off happens in the finale, or I'd say the last 2 episodes, right?
Yeah, I would say 9 and 10.
Everything in the middle is just fucking filler. There's a sub-story where she, like, gets a boyfriend, sort of, and there's a sub-story where the sister, I'm sorry, not the soon-to-be stepsister, gets kind of a boyfriend, and, I mean, I guess it's kind of an allegory for teen sexual... You know, it's there as in comparison to what happened with the rape stuff in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it's so boring and not necessary to the story. All that shit could have been taken out and you would not have noticed it. And then there's like, they got this, there's this other story where she goes in search of like her father, and then she ends up at this house that used to be hers, but she doesn't remember it. And she has these conversations with the lady that currently lives there, and so the fuck what? All of that stuff could have been like just implied against, or just said in a one-liner. All of it, like the mom could have said, "Your father took off on us. He has he had something wrong with him. I think he was bipolar or whatever." Right, but instead they make it like a 3 or 4 episode arc that just goes on forever. It's oh man, I cannot stress enough how much I believe everything in the middle is just padding.
I think on the story level, you're not wrong, but after every scene where they do something and you're like, all right, let's keep this moving, there's always some really genuinely entertaining or compelling character moment between two characters, and you get to know more about who these people are, and you get to know them as complicated and real characters. And I think that, I don't want to say that it's worth the treading water, because the treading water is still a problem with the show, but it, I was never uninterested in watching this show, because while it was going on, I was always like, okay, cool, there's going to be another really good moment in 3 minutes, and there almost always was.
I mean, they're good moments, but they're good moments. It's kind of like, I don't know, action movies where, like, they create a scene just for the trailer. It's like, whoa, that looks cool! It doesn't mean... the rest of the movie is just figuring out ways to get there. They don't write a movie around what naturally would happen in the story. They just write a movie around these scenes that needs to take, that they want to take place because it looks good in the trailer.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I felt like they wrote a mediocre show and then brought someone in and said, give us as many good character moments as you can fit in this boring show. And they said, I'll see what I can do. And whenever the character moments take over, I think the show really, really works. And yeah, you have to get through that slog sometimes of the more plot heavy stuff
it's not plot heavy. It's the exact opposite. That's my point.
Yeah,
it's not plot related at all.
It's pseudo plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that stuff does suck. And that is a problem with the show. But I do think the show is pretty well directed, and I never found it boring to look at. And I will sit through a lot of dumb shit if you use the rule of thirds correctly.
What? Really? That's your go-to? Is it? So what? They didn't break the line. That suddenly doesn't make it a good show.
I'm not saying like it was competently made. I think it was stylishly directed for the most part. Like there was stuff, and I look at it and I go, like it's not a great shot, but I look at it and go, that's pretty. I'm glad that they put in the extra 10% of effort to make that like visually pleasing, because a lot of stuff doesn't. And is it unfair that I'm praising the show mostly in comparison to similar shows that are out now? It's probably unfair.
No, it's not unfair, because they I feel like they model it after that. I feel like this show was in direct correlation to 13 Reasons Why becoming a hit.
If that's the case, then good on them, because they said, okay, we're going to take this garbage show and make it actually pretty okay. And I think that's what they did. I think they made it actually pretty okay. I personally liked it. Like, there were parts of it that I really connected with.
I get what you're saying with the moments, because the character moments are good, but to me, it's just bottled down with A, treading water to get there, and B, for every good scene where there's two characters that have a connection or are both making points or both acting good against each other, there's, for every one scene of that, there's 10 scenes of, you need to tell your mom. I'm not going to tell my mom. Well, you need to tell your mom. I'm not going to tell my mom. Well, you need to tell your mom. I already told you I'm not going to tell my mom. It's 5 minutes of these fucking chicks going back and forth, ultimately saying nothing. They do that a lot. Like, right off the bat, I can see them doing that 3 or 4 times. There's also a couple of times where her and the mom have a fight. There's also a couple times where her and Bill Boone, the dad of the would-be rapist paralegic kid, he's like, you need to tell me what happened to my son. She goes, I wasn't there. Well, you need to tell me what happened to my son. But I wasn't there. Well, you need to tell me what happened. But I told you I wasn't there. It goes on and on and on. And those scenes are so scattered throughout the show that a few good scenes that there are so forgettable. Because I don't remember the good scenes, because all I remember is this bullshit.
See, I completely disagree. I feel like the good scenes and the bad scenes are scattered throughout, and I feel like I saw what they were trying to do with all of that repetition, because especially with the Bill Boone stuff, the dad, like, that all comes to a head in the end.
Yeah, it does.
A sequence that I really, really love.
Yeah, it was cool.
It
has nothing to do with the fact that this girl can teleport. It's a different show entirely.
I mean, there was a little bit of it that had to do with how she could teleport.
Did you see that show, Small Crimes? Did we watch that together?
Yeah, we watched Small Crimes.
Okay, this is Small Crimes meets 13 Reasons Why meets Jumper, except that jumper, the part that is selling it part as, is the least thing to these writers.
Okay, but here's the thing. I like Small Crimes. So,
of course you did.
Yeah. I like Small Crimes, and I don't know. I think this show's good. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's, like, a revolutionary thing. If you don't have YouTube Red, is it worth getting YouTube Red?
No. It is not.
It's not. It's maybe worth getting the, creating a
the
new
free trial.
Email account to get a new trial. If you already use your free trial to watch Cobra Kai, make a new email account and get a free trial there. But I don't think it's a waste of time.
Okay. Well, okay. I see your points. I don't hate it as much as I did when I was walking into it, I guess. It is funny, some just minor things, not good or bad, but Keegan-Michael Key, really, we made this joke already, but why is he in this?
Why is he in this? Why is Danny Pudi in this?
That's true. It's funny. Keegan-Michael Key gets, like, top billing. It says main cast, and the cast and characters main. There's seven names listed there. And he's in this for less than a minute total.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is... one thing, I said it was kind of long. Each episode is 50 minutes, which is, I feel, just way too long for this kind of content.
It is a little too long.
And so for a 50-minute show times 10, you got 500 minutes there. He's in it for less than 1 minute, and he gets main casting? Fuck you.
He got main casting for that first episode. They didn't put him in the main cast for any of the other episodes, okay?
I don't know.
That's what Wikipedia is telling me.
Well, Wikipedia says that the main characters are Henry, Jenna, the cop, the dad, the rapist, Keegan-Michael Key, and then the mom.
And you see the little A annotation next to Keegan-Michael Key?
What does that mean?
Hover over it.
I clicked it. I'm supposed to hover over it. Credited among the main cast in the pilot only.
You're damn right he was.
But he wasn't even in the pilot that much. Again, less than a minute.
No, he wasn't. And that is a shitty thing to do. But let's not act like he was in the main. It's not like they said Keegan-Michael Key presents Impulse.
Well, it kind of feels like that. Maybe I'm reaching here. Maybe I'm reaching.
Yeah, I
apologize. One character that I found pretty interesting, which is a shame because I feel like he gets a lot of plot. Tie a lot of plot influence, but not enough screen time, is the brother.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Lucas.
Lucas.
Lucas is a fascinating character.
Lucas Boone. He's very interesting. His arc and what he has to put himself through, what happens to him. His plot is very interesting.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of it they just say. I'm sorry, maybe I dozed off or something, but what he does, the thing he's, aka on the, I'm not trying to spoil it, but the thing he's on the run for, we never actually see that, right?
No, we don't.
Why not?
I think it's to try and preserve the mystery for a few episodes, which is lame.
Because that is really, that could be a good show by itself, I think.
Yeah. Because, like, for a little bit, you're like, did this thing happen? Did it not happen? And we're all like, it happened. Let's move on. That's my biggest complaint with the show stretching it out. It's like, just show us that this happened and we can move on with the plot.
Right. I mean, like, that's a really interesting scene that I would have loved to see, but instead I get, you need to tell your mom. Well, I don't want to talk to my mom. Well, you need to talk to your mom. Your mom took me shopping. Well, why would she do that? She's my mom. Well, you're not talking to her. Well, I don't want to talk to her. You should have seen me acting this out. Like, you should have physically seen me, because I was, like, I was on my chair, but I was leaning to the right, and then I was, like, shifting my hair and leaning to the left.
You were doing the Gollum Smeagol thing?
Kinda. We hate it! Impulse, we hate it! I don't know. Like, I feel like there's some interesting elements here, and again, I can't remember what... a thing we reviewed before. I think it was, what's that? With the lady, Gerald's Game.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's three different movies that they threw together, and I didn't care for that. I kind of feel like that way here. I feel like it's a better Small Crimes than Small Crimes wanted to be, but then it's sidebarred by this, it's a better 13 Reasons Why than 13 Reasons Why wanted to be. But then that sidebar by the, it's a not as good Jumper as Jumper wanted to be, and Jumper's not
okay,
even
it's
really good.
It's better than Jumper.
Is it?
I watched
Jumper. At least Jumper was fun with the teleportation. Like, everything else about Jumper is shit, but at least the teleportation aspect of it, the byline, again, is fun.
Eh, I mean, there's more jumping in Jumper, but it's pretty terrible. You should rewatch Jumper, because I rewatched Jumper this morning. Or I watched it for the first time this morning, and it's bad.
It is bad. I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm saying the jumping aspect of it is better.
I mean, I just think there's just more jumping.
But when that's the byline of your show, then yes. I'm sorry, I can't make a movie called Titanic and have a three-hour movie and really spend 5 minutes on that Titanic. You just can't. I'm sorry. You get it deducts a point for that. Admit it. It has to.
It does deduct a little bit. It does deduct a point. But if you are putting it at a point difference between Jumper and Impulse, then that is a bigger problem.
Why?
Because Jumper sucks. Even if you don't like this movie, Jumper sucks.
It does suck, but it's funner than this. And it's shorter.
I mean,
and its story is less convoluted.
Both of those things are... Okay, the story of Jumper is pretty damn convoluted for an 88-minute movie. But, like, it's... Technically, it's more fun because it's trying to be a dumb action movie. This isn't trying to be a dumb action movie.
What's it trying to be?
It is trying to be a dumb teen drama with supernatural elements. It is a teen drama with supernatural elements.
Fine. I feel like my lack of wanting to argue with you is a testament to how little I care about this show.
So that means I win?
It doesn't mean you win. It means I don't give a fuck. It's pretty forgettable, I think.
Okay.
I feel like I'm getting a little heated on it, but I think I'm getting heated on it just because I feel like I'm arguing with a child that just doesn't know you. But apparently I'm wrong, because I'm looking at the Wikipedia. Apparently it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I can't possibly
okay, but
be
it's,
right.
But that's TV. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't count for TV. Never has.
Well, and again, Wikipedia has times where it's not completely accurate, but it seems like, based off what I'm reading, it's getting a lot of positive praise.
Yeah. But I think it's one of the things where, like, I mean, it's Rotten Tomatoes, it's a binary system. It's a lot of people that I think are similar to where I am going, this is good. I really enjoyed it. It's not great or anything, but I enjoyed my time with it.
Can we talk a second about Towns? Character Towns. What do you think about that character? I feel like he has a purpose. Like you kind of need a character like that in this type of show.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way it was acted. I don't like how they stereotypically make him autistic for no reason.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because there's the one scene where, so the only people that know about her powers are the sort of sister and him. And one of the episodes, it seems like they're going to go into it and they're kind of going to try and train her to become whatever, or at least hone in on her abilities. And he's like, well, I think that here's what actually happens. And if the biological particles get castrated into a singular element and something spreads across the galaxy, and it's like, they say it, and then the sister once jumps in like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Everything he just said was scientific bullshit. It's kind of like
yeah,
some
it was
stuff
nonsense.
It's kind of the stuff they pull on Star Trek sometimes, where it's like this show is smarter than this. But just because Spock walks up and says, "Well, it's because of this and this and this and this and this and this," doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it smart. It's just bullshit. It's babble.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best parts about the character is when he's trying to be like, you are a superhero. She's like, no, go away.
Really?
Like,
I feel like that's a scene that he's had to say those words specifically just so they could put it in the trailer.
Okay. That's honestly a fair point. It worked for me, but I get where you're coming from with that. I feel like that's a character that if they do have a season two, they will use that character more and more as it goes along. It feels like he's there mostly just to kind of sow the seeds of him being involved in the future of the show.
Yeah. This show definitely is a huge setup because there's a villain
yeah.
that isn't, the,
that really isn't there.
Yeah, there's a villain that's not the dad, not the local drug guy, that just kind of fades in and out within... I forget that he's in it. I mean, he's supposed to be the big bad, right? At least, supposedly. And I mean, we are 50 minutes into this review before we even mention him, because the show glosses over him so much.
Yeah.
I feel like those two characters are probably going to play a bigger role in the future, and I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind if this had a season two. I just feel like the season one is too long. And it's a good setup.
Yeah.
When it's not padding stuff out to set things up.
Yeah, I would totally agree with a lot of that.
So, my final thoughts, and get ready, because after this, you got to pitch, and then you got your review, and then you got to pitch. But my final thoughts is that it's well-intentioned. It's better than some of the things that it's mimicking, but it really does just pad out. I wish there was another word besides pad out, but it just strings things along, and you have to sit through a lot of just unnecessary stuff. Not things that are bad or annoying or horribly made, just things that are just unnecessary. It's just completely forgettable. I don't like to admit when I don't pay attention to things, but these episodes are so long, and again, there's so many of these scenes where it's just back and forth of them saying... It reminds me of when I watched Iron Fist, because like the first couple episodes of Iron Fist has the same exact problem. They're like, we need to talk about Danny. Well, that kid in there, that is not Danny. It can't be Danny. I know it's not Danny, but we need to talk about the guy that's pretending to be Danny. It's not Danny. And then they argue, and he's like, I'm not going to have this conversation with you anymore. I'm leaving. So he walks outside to NYC Street, and then she follows him, and they have the same exact conversation again. Why are you leaving? We need to talk about Danny. I'm not going to talk about Danny. They do that shit here, and they do it so often. It's so easy for me to pick up my phone and browse Reddit or text someone or fucking look at porn or something, because this is just not – some of it's just so
– Yeah.
Okay, but outside of that, it has good intentions. It's decently acted, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you on that point, but I don't have any examples to argue with you. So I give it 2 out of 4 bras that are padded.
All right.
Or stuffed with toilet paper, because, you know... That's what this girl should have done.
All right, let's not be mean to the angsty, probably gay brunette,
The brunette was cute. I'm talking about Henry, the main girl, who's not brunette.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of Jenna, because
Jenna's cute as fuck. Are you kidding me? I totally would have asked that girl out when I was in high school.
100% nerdy, probably gay brunette. That is my fucking type.
I wonder what your girlfriend thinks about that.
you can ask her. She'd just be like, yeah, he's got a type.
It's me. I'm probably gay. See Davey's beard? He's also my beard.
Honestly, like, people say that, like, they're allies to the LGBT community. No, I'm a fucking ally, because 90% of the girls that I've dated have come out of it much gayer than they were walking in. My personality turns women to being part of that community. I'm a fucking ally.
You're the coach.
But no, I like this show. I really do. I found it entertaining and surprisingly bingeable.
Bingeable?
Jeez. Yeah, I mean... Okay, not like
out of everything you've said this entire episode, that is the one that throws me for a looper the most. I keep calling the show looper. Jumper.
Yeah. Sorry, I think bingeable is the wrong word, but I just watch it, and if another episode's coming on, I go, yeah, I can do this. Like, it's just a nice thing to have on. I can just watch it, and it's not terribly challenging. When it is trying to be challenging, I think it does that stuff really well. I think the problems are when it tries to be a little less intense. I don't know. I really enjoyed a lot of the aspects about the show. That's really all I can say about it, is that I really think the main actress is kind of great. But no, it's I'm glad that I watched this show. And I've never seen a YouTube Red show before, but I watched this one, and this one was actually pretty okay. So good job, YouTube Red. You did something good. I still need to see Cobra Kai, though. So I give Impulse Season 1 7 out of 10 times that I'm really glad that Hayden Christensen wasn't in the show.
He could have been.
He could have been.
If any younglings needed to be killed, it was some of these younglings.
Actually, wait, no. I resend that. New rating. 7 out of 10 times that I was watching the show and I thought Dylan Minnette can eat my ass. Because wow,
how much is that going to cost to view? Because I'm out of my YouTube Premium membership.
Yeah, no, that's actually going to be on Crackle.
Conveniently titled.
Oh, that's terrible. I was just saying that because Dylan Minnette was in 13 Reasons Why, and 13 Reasons Why wasn't good, but that was terrible. Okay, so I gotta pitch you a show.
Okay, or a pitch movie. Me a show.
Oh, okay. And it's a wheelchair and a YouTube video, correct?
A wheelchair and a viral YouTube video, yes.
Okay. So it's this guy. His name is Todd. And Todd is walking down the street one day, and he gets hit by a car. And so he's in a wheelchair. But it's the future, and so
the future with cars and wheelchairs.
Yeah. It's not like super distant future, but it's like kind of future. It's like iRobot shit. So he's in the wheelchair.
Again, there were no cars in iRobot. They all self-automatically drove.
But there's still cars. The car can still fuck up. And so he's got all these cool like things on his wheelchair that he can do stuff now. Like, he's got, like, rocket boosters on the wheelchair.
Okay.
And so he becomes a vigilante crime fighter from the wheelchair. And he becomes popular, like how Kick-Ass did, because someone took a video of him using his wheelchair to beat the shit out of a bunch of criminals. And so he becomes super popular. And the movie's called Papa Wheelie.
Okay. But I kind of like Papa. It. I kind of like I feel like there's an obvious and yet has to be done joke with like Professor X in there.
Oh yeah, no, there's a bunch of X-Men references, but it's not Pop A Wheelie. It's his superhero name, Papa Wheelie.
Okay.
Hollywood,
like
I am waiting.
Cool. Okay. Cool. Well, before I end the show, you guys listening can just leave now if you so choose. But I do need to have a serious discussion with Davey, and I don't mind having it on the air. So you can find us on something, something, something at Mr. Herker, Doc Herker on Facebook, 7-Eleven. Wait, Mr. Dot, oh shit. Mr. Dot Hooker, 7-Eleven at Facebook. Davey, where you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Davey Peppers and on Instagram at The Davey Peppers.
Cool. So before we officially end the show, I need to talk to you something.
Yeah.
We got into a Facebook thing not too long ago about Star Wars, and I really, really disagree with you.
All right, wait, what did I say?
You said that The Last Jedi was your favorite Star Wars.
Did I say that?
You said it. I don't know if you said that word specifically, but I think you said it was like top two.
No, it's top three.
Okay, fine, top three, close enough.
Yeah, it goes New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Last Jedi.
You serious?
Yeah.
Davey, The Last Jedi, I'm sorry to anyone that doesn't know any better, but The Last Jedi is such ass. It's just ass.
No. It's the first time since 1980 that a Star Wars movie has been about something other than being about a Star Wars movie.
That's fine. That's fine. I understand that want, but, like, it's still ass. It sucks.
No. There is a 10-minute sequence that is kind of bad, and there are a few decisions that aren't very good. But let's just take a look at, just for example, the scenes of Rey and Kylo talking.
These are spoilers, by the way. That's why anyone listening.
We're going to spoil a movie that came out 8 months ago and has been the topic of conversation for 8 months. If you haven't seen The Last Jedi by now, which, by the way, is an
if you haven't seen
movie.
The Last Jedi by now, I applaud you because I wish I could live in your world where I didn't have to sit through that fucking ass.
No, it's so good. The scenes where it's Rey and Kylo talking back and forth through the Force, just the filmmaking in those moments is amazing. Mark Hamill does an incredible job. The fact that they brought back Puppet Yoda for a beautiful send-off of everything that Star Wars used to be is just stellar. The few fight scenes that are in there, they have great build-up, and they are done expertly. The fight scene in that room where it's Rey and Kylo working together is nothing short of magnificent. The cinematography, gorgeous. The production design, gorgeous. The acting, for the most part, really damn good. Rian Johnson...
The story. I've noticed how you very conveniently glossed over the story.
Okay, let's talk about the story. The story is all about how everything that we have come to love doesn't really mean anything.
Star Wars doesn't really mean anything. I'm sorry, I am not a Star Wars fan, because it has just been riding the nostalgia train for fucking decades.
Yes,
decades.
It has.
There are.
Yes, it has.
I'm not saying in my personal opinion, and not in my personal opinion, because in my personal opinion, I do not agree with this. I like a good half of the Star Wars movies. I think a good half of them are good. But as far as critics-wise concerned, as far as fan-wise, in every single discussion I've ever had with the Star Wars fan, there are two, count them, two well-received, good, across-the-board, everyone-agrees good movies. Two out of fucking eight. Eight.
No, that's lame. You know, that's so lame. The original trilogy is all good. Jedi's got some problems, but it's good.
But that's my thing. That's what I'm saying, is everyone will agree that the first two are good. People will say yay or nay about Return of the Jedi. I like it, but I'm saying universally, if it's not universally agreed upon, then it falls into the latter category of a.k.a. not good. The first two are good, universally. The rest has always been up for debate, and therefore they fall into the category of not good. I'm not saying bad, I'm saying not good. Okay?
Exactly.
So, as far as the world is concerned, there are two good Star Wars movies, and they've been riding that nostalgia train for over 40 fucking years, and the last two are the worst ones.
No. Because here's the thing. That's why The Last Jedi is so good, is because it specifically tells all these people who exist solely in binary thinking who say, oh, because these movies aren't A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back, that means that they are worthless and without any
value. I did not say that at all.
I'm not saying you said that. I'm saying that a bunch of other people have said that about stuff like Return of the Jedi and about every other Star Wars movie. If it's not great, then it's not even good. And The Last Jedi looks all those people dead in the eye and says, shut the fuck up. It practically has Adam Garza looking at the
audience in the face and says, where's Mickey Mouse and how can I suck his dick? That's what it says.
That's what Force Awakens said, and that's what Solo said.
But at least Force Awakens I did not like, and it was just a huge callback to everything else, which is just atrocious to me, because again, riding the nostalgia train, it doesn't mean that you take... It's kind of like presidency. You're not a good president because you undo everything the last president did. You need to take what the last president did and either improve it or do something new with it. You can't just undo it. It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. So this new one, this Rian Johnson one, is just undoing everything the last one did. They set up Snoke, which is a horrible villain, and no one gave a fuck. But at least they set it up in The Force Awakens. Here, they very quickly and uncaringly just get rid of him. Because fuck it. We didn't like it, so let's get rid of it. That's bullshit, baby.
He's cleaning up J.J. Abrams' mess.
Making a new mess? That's not the same thing.
He's literally spent 2.5 hours cleaning up J.J. Abrams' Disney-demanded mess. Because The Force Awakens, while I really enjoy that movie and have a lot of love for it as a nostalgic Star Wars fanboy, the movie is just treading water. And then The Last Jedi said, God damn it, J.J., you had a chance to do something great. I'm going to have to take this movie and spend the majority of it saying, stop trying to redo things.
I agree with you. But you're not, that again, my argument, you don't clean up someone's mess by making another mess. That shit on the casino planet, fucking atrocious. Okay? That shit with Leia, everything with Leia in The Last Jedi is atrocious.
I will disagree with that.
It's atrocious.
Wholeheartedly. It's awesome. She fucking flies through space. Tell me that's not a little cool.
No, it's stupid. I understand that she's a Force user. But out of the way people die in this series, people get cut in half and they're still alive. People get cut in half and they're suddenly dead. People, like, die when they're not doing anything, a.k.a. I mean, it doesn't say that he dies, but he really didn't do anything.
Oh, he's dead.
Right, but he doesn't do anything to die. To like, nothing happens to him to die.
Yes, it
but
does.
Leia can survive in fucking vacuum
that
of space.
He would die.
In okay, exactly. The Force to that intensity, you would die. I'm with you on that argument. So what the fuck was Leia doing? Was she not using the Force to any intensity to survive the vacuum of space? Go fuck yourself. That scene is so, like, where the fuck did they think this was a good idea to put this scene in here?
Because it's majestic.
Fuck that.
Damn it.
You can be majestic without being fucking atrocious.
It's not atrocious.
It's atrocious.
And also, the Canto Bight sequence is not very good, but that is 10 minutes in a 150-minute movie. So Law of Averages states that that is a black mark on the movie.
And that last,
I don't think that scene works.
But okay, so that battle they have with Kylo and Ren in the chamber, cool. I give you that. But the battle at the end, stupid.
Also cool.
No, especially how that Rose chick comes in and does the theme of the movie line.
Yes, it's about that is also bad. That is a bad
saving
moment.
What we love.
That is a bad moment in an amazing 30-minute sequence.
Oh man.
There are two terrible decisions in that sequence, which is neither Rose nor Finn dying, and then the line that she says. Everything else in that sequence is captivating.
I'm just so disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in you! Open your mind, listen to Rian Johnson as he comes down from the heavens and tells all of us to fuck off.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dude, but I'm going to go into politics again. You sound like a fucking Trump supporter. Like, just because he said he's telling us to fuck off and he's going to do it his way doesn't make it good.
Yes, but Rian Johnson's not going to kill us all.
Well, he killed a lot of characters for no reason.
But that's the difference. In art, I say, yeah, sure, do whatever you want. Like, tell people to fuck off. But that's the difference. Because this is art. This is Star Wars. It doesn't really matter. No child's going to be in a cage because Rian Johnson decided to make Mark Hamill an angry old man.
I don't know.
Take that shit back.
Maybe. I can't get behind you on this one, man. I think that movie is ass. It's just ass. I don't have any other word for it other than ass.
I think it's astounding.
I think it's asinine. Alright, well, this is our show. Thanks for listening. Sorry it's been a while. We're busy. Okay, forgive us.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.